Because I'm actually home for 3 weeks.
Oh, you are?
Yes, it's quite exciting. Okay, we're going to look at data manipulation. Because we got through loops, right? Even with the...
You ended with four end loops, I think.
While loops or something?
Well, yeah, we ended with four loops, so that was the end of loops. Okay. And if you want this one to be, the next one to be full screen, you have to go in this way to get it. I just noticed that if you click it from my, it comes up in one frame. So I didn't do my target top on that one, apparently. Because target top is what makes it go into the whole page as opposed to
so
into a frame.
You have to go in.
What's it
manipulating
called?
Data.
You have to go to the notes and handouts.
Right. I mean, if you don't mind just having it in the frame, it's fine. But it's just easier. If you go into notes and handouts, it comes up as a full page. If you go in to the thing that I put over on the page, it's coming up in a frame. And since I never click on that until except today, I apparently did. I didn't even notice it. Okay, so what I've done here, and again, if you want to try this, it wouldn't be a bad thing to try. We can work on trying it. But I created a table called Test PLSQL. And I just put a bunch of data in it for the sake of putting a bunch of data in it. And then I said, okay, now create a sequence. So I created the sequence and I gave it basically the same name with underscore sequence to tell me. And I try to do that because that tells me that this sequence goes with that table. So I tend to make the name very similar to the table so I know that the sequence goes with what table it goes with. And then I said, okay, now I wrote the code to insert something. So as I said, if you want to go in and do that, where do we go? CIS software and SQL Plus. And as I said, I think this is a good one to try simply because it has so much going on in it. And eventually I will actually get everything working. Okay, so I think I have these tables out here. DESC, test, PLSQL. Yeah, I've got the tables out there. So if you go ahead and just make that table, it won't take more than a few minutes, and then create the sequence, we can go down and actually run it. And if you look, I've got the sequence too. I did the test asterisk from cat, and you can see that I've got the sequence in there as well. Thank you. just trying to think how you get that to show up. I can say edit.
Yeah, I just tried doing the same thing as well.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember how I can do it. Let's see, if I do edit, test, PL, SQL. No, it's not doing that either. I will. Huh. Okay. If I go back to looking at sequences, and that was under information on database objects, maybe? Yes. And there's the sequence. Okay, I can get it by saying. Select asterisk from user. That's how you can see it.
Yeah.
Okay, where I did the select asterisk from user where the sequence name is, but notice it had to be written in uppercase. Okay, it had to be written in uppercase in order for me to get it. If I really want to see it. And then down below, where I came to okay, there's where you do the alter. And so if you have something to change in it, you can do the alter there. So looking back at the sequence handout, that gives you that information.
So what's the sequence do for you?
It gives you the ID number in order, next one, next one, next one. That's what it does for you. And by having that, I've said, okay, I'm creating a sequence, increment by one, start with 111, max value 999. Okay? So if I come down here now, and I just printed the stuff out just to show you how you can see that you actually have the sequence. So now I'm going to go down and do the example, which is test insert. So I'm going to do that, and actually I apparently already have it. Okay, so I apparently put this in, and we'll see where it goes from here. Because I have no idea how much I have in test PL SQL. So I will do a file. Okay, so I'm apparently putting in Jane Smith, at least this one has.
Yeah,
so,
you have the same information, but for John Smith.
Okay.
The first one, so you just changed the name.
Apparently. And I did this some other time. So I'm going to do @ test insert. And it's successfully completed. So now I'm going to do select asterisk from test PL SQL. And there's Jane Smith. Okay. So if I come down and I want to put in another one, I've got one here that's Ann Wilson. You can pick whatever you want to put in. So I'll come back here and I'm going to say edit, test, insert again, and basically go in and just change the data in here. So I'm going to change Jane Smith to Ann Wilson, and I'm going to change that first amount to 2728. And the state apparently is Rhode Island, and 987 is apparently the number that I decided to put there. Okay, so I just went in and changed that. And now I'll do a file exit. It prompts me to save, and I will run this. And do a select asterisk from test PL SQL. And now I've got both of them in there. Okay, so doing this insert puts them both in. Okay, notice what the insert does. It says take the next value into VID number, and it is using from dual. Because I don't really, I don't have a table, but I need a from clause. There are some versions of SQL that will not require the from clause. This one does. And so I really didn't have a table there, so I just said from dual. So that went and got the next sequence number. And the next sequence number got put into VID number. So when I insert the values, I'm inserting the ID number, and that sequence that I got is going in there. Okay? If I didn't have to have a from clause there, I'd be fine. But since I have to have a from clause, I used from dual. So now I have two records on
then you have to declare that thing first, right?
Declare what? Which?
The ID number as the same type?
Yes. So I declared the variable. And then the first sentence is to go in and get the next ID number from the sequence that I created and put it into the ID number. Then once I've got it in VID number, I can do the insert. Has everybody got something in the table?
Yeah.
copy the code directly from the document. I'm getting errors. Not sure it's a declare statement. BID number. This would be an equal.
No. If I do it again, I'll edit, test, insert. Make sure you didn't do a 1 instead of an L at some point.
Yeah.
Does that say...
It's gotta be something stupid like that. That's right. When I copied and pasted, it wasn't in the right place.
It's just the same as on the thing.
Bless your heart. As I said, the easy one is L versus 1, or at least I find that is.
Copied and pasted directly.
The one has the little line. Oh, you copied and pasted directly from the
grammar. Directly from your notes from the document. I didn't type it manually, yeah.
Okay, do a DESC of test PLSQL and make sure that you've.
That you even have the file.
Test PLSQL.
Oh. So that doesn't exist.
You think
so I am betting.
Up. You can scroll back up, right?
Right.
Create sequence PLSQL.
Did you create
sequence? Oh, wait a minute. Underscore sequence.
No, that's the sequence.
That's the sequence.
You never created a table?
Maybe
with all the values?
That's the problem.
Yeah,
I don't have the table.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Yep.
Well, you can't. Copy. She doesn't have that either. You just have to look at the fields. And
yeah.
And then down below, they get into the if you want things to be pretty, you can do an except. Okay, so we will try copying and pasting that.
Huh. So it doesn't, Okay. Now, you have your name or something as a primary key? Well, you wouldn't want that, though.
No, I don't think I made a primary key, but I would have made ID number the primary key if I did.
Which creates it differently, but if you accidentally then do your test insert twice, you end up with the same information but with different ID numbers.
Yes. Oh, with a different ID number. Because the sequence is generating the ID number. So it generates the next ID number. And so actually, because the ID number is a key, even if I'd made it a key, it wouldn't have made any difference.
No.
Because I'm getting... Well, congratulations. It's a big family, and they like the name. And this is test insert 1. So I have the accept statements to take stuff in. And if I run this one, notice that when I run this one, I get the prompt that I put into the accept. Now notice that in fact, this is a script and I've got these accepts before I start the PLSQL because the declare starts the PLSQL. So I'm doing a little mixing and matching here. I've got a script that includes four accept statements, which are SQL, and then the declare puts me into PLSQL. Okay, so if I make this John Doe and enter amount one, and enter the state code, and enter whatever. And it now says procedure successfully completed. And if I do a select asterisk from test PLSQL, I've now got John Doe in there that I just added. And I added that using the accept statements. Okay, now the advantage of using the accept statements is that it gives you, you get to write what the prompt should be. So I can get very specific about what I want the prompt and say enter name, enter amount one, enter the state code, enter amount two. And so I've been very specific about that. I take it, that data in with the accept. I then move that data into variables. I'm assigning it to variables. And then I do the sequence, and then finally I do the insert using all of those variables that I just declared. And then further down, I use accept to do an update. So I used an accept. And I said enter the ID of the record to change. And I did an update on something. What did I do an update on? Amount one. And then I did a delete further down, just to basically try them all. So I deleted a record. Enter the ID of the record you want to delete, and I deleted it. And I have a few more examples down there, but they're all basically the same thing. Okay, what I want you to do today is to work on this intro quiz that we're going to start in class, and we'll go over that. Because basically I've put three things up for you to do. Last week you head off. This week you're paying for it. So anyway, I didn't get far enough in the if statements to give you the assignments. So you got catch up week last week and fall behind week this week. So you've got the if statement, the loop, and then the quiz that we're going to start in class and go through that. Then what I'm going to do next Tuesday is start curses. We're going to go through curses, and then we're going to go back and pick up the pieces of the things that I've left behind. Okay? But some of them we'll kind of run into as we're doing the curses, and I'll explain them as we go along, and then we'll go back and pick up the pieces. So bring up the quiz. And I basically want you to tell me what would happen, and then I want you to explain why that's what happened. And that can be fairly brief. But notice that I am doing that BBMS output line so that you're seeing this is what I want to know what would come up. Okay. Pardon me?
Are we doing this verbally or are we doing this on
No, we're going to do it, write it, and then we'll talk it through verbally as we go, but I'm not sure we'll make it all the way through, so. tomorrow yet.
So that you can make notes if you want to put it on.
So in other words, if we get through one, you don't have to pass in one and so forth if you want to. Because I'm going to go through that and have you contribute in about 5 minutes, so.
Amanda, would you put the date on the top, because I didn't.
Having a good day? Okay, what's going to come out on this top one?
2222 building blocks 48.
Oh, 99. How does that get messed up?
I will be with you in a moment after I get to orient it.
So the output would be 2222, a space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I concatenated it with a space. And then building blocks. A space, the cost, which is what?
48.
And the price, which is what?
$51.99.
Okay, now, what happened?
explaining it. Why do I have set server output on?
So we can output the data from the DBMS line.
Yep, that's right. And then what does the accept do?
Prompts you for the value.
Prompts you for the value, but...
populates the variable.
But it lets you have your own prompt. So that's the nice thing about the accept. And I accept in item number. So it has been accepted. And then I move... What does this line do?
That compares the item number from the value that's in that variable to the item number in the invent table.
Right. So it's that except put it into in item number, and then I am comparing that to the item number in the table. And then what does the select do other than that, other than the comparison?
Filling in, it's taking all of the values from the invent table and putting into the appropriate variables defined in the SQL.
And it's doing it for the record where there was a match. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the DBMS is putting out the line.
I have a question though. I'm just noticing. IN underscore item, no, it's a variable. That's not declared. Anywhere else.
But it's being used down in the where. It's declared in the accept, really.
Oh, okay.
Because the accept is saying it's taking it in, and then I'm using it down there.
And since the accept took it in and it's being stored in memory, I need to put the ampersand in there that tells it it's going to go get a memory variable.
Okay.
As opposed to a variable defined in the program, it's a memory variable.
Okay, so when you accept, we have accept variable automatically, that's a declaration
yes,
of that variable.
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever name I'm putting there. Okay, so that's the first one. And move on, and basically this is a review. And I want to make sure you're real comfortable with this stuff before we move on to the next layer. So really the alternative to doing the accept is that I put it here and that declares the variable as well.
Play computer on this, right?
No, right.
Okay.
Play computer and then explain what's going on. I mean, I want to make sure you understand that these are the basics that we've looked at so far. Have you finished number two?
Not quite. You mean number three and four?
Three and four. Yeah, right. Whatever. The second example. Thank you.
my incident.
What?
She formatted her hard drive and it my flash drive and it got rid of all my homework stuff. Yeah.
My flash drive yesterday, it got corrupted somehow. Came up with all gobbledygook.
I'm gonna bring it to Eber.
Okay, people, do you do backups?
Well, I haven't even. I had it backed it up for the semester, but I did have some of the stuff, and because most of it's in the emails, and I'm like pretty current, I'm lucky that way.
That's when I did.
I mean, anything you've sent to me, I have. So if you if you ask for something to me to return, I don't throw out any emails I receive from you until the semester's over, and then I probably don't throw them out. But I but that's mainly because I don't ever clean up after myself.
This is better than paper. This is better than paper.
That's right. But I never throw out any emails, so all my emails are filed on my hard drive. And I back them up periodically.
I'm usually pretty good about it. It's just that I was working out of a document on that flash drive. And instead of saving it to the desktop just for the specific homework assignment, I didn't do that. I didn't even think to do that. I was just working out of it and going into the command line and doing it. And I just made a mistake and put in the wrong flash drive letter. And there went everything.
And it didn't even come back and
well,
say,
I didn't get it back with recovery data because I brought it right. I went right to the IT help, and they're like, all of it's here, even back to like, he's like, we have 6 gigs worth. We're only allowed to recover like 2 gigs worth, and the school doesn't want to be bothered with recovering data for students. And I'm like, then we shouldn't be prompted to do homeworks where we have to work out of two other flash drives and then a third. You know what I'm saying? Because then that would never happen. So now I'm like, whatever.
Well, ask if you can watch over their shoulder while they get the first two back, and then you can learn to get the others back.
Well, I just didn't want to do any writing to it because I can probably get
No, you're right. You definitely. Once you've messed up the disk, you don't want to put anything new on the disk until you've gone to somebody and said... I mean, I've had these heart attack things a couple of times where... You know, when I think back of it, I trusted this guy, God knows why. You know, I mean, somebody recommended him, I went to him, I handed over my computer to him, and, you know, luckily he was as honest as I hoped he would be, but I thought afterward when I went home, I was in such a panic that I didn't check anything. I just said, here, fix it. This was many years ago. I learned a lot about backing up from that experience.
Well, I think I will too, but you know, it's funny because I had a couple of, like I have other flash drives and I usually have everything backed up to my external hard drive, but I haven't backed up the current stuff.
Now we're going to back up tonight.
That's what I did last night.
Okay, what's going to happen here? First of all, what output is generated by this problem?
It's not actually going to display anything.
That's right.
It's going to update the price.
It's not going to update. It's not going to display anything. And what it is going to do is just do that update.
Yeah.
So the only way that you can verify what happened would be to go in and look at the table and see if the updates actually happened. But there is nothing in here that is going to generate anything on the screen except the PLSQL ran successfully or whatever it is that it says. Okay, so that's all the output you're going to see. Notice on this one, I did not use the except. So how did I get the item number in?
Just the ampersand.
Right. And this basically prompts for a number, and the result gets assigned a V item number. Because I'm basically, this assignment sign here is saying assign whatever is put in when the prompt comes up to the item number. So it's assigning it there. Okay. So, what is the 2222 going to generate? If I enter in the 2222, and I think I have an extra two up in, okay, so what am I gonna get for output?
It's gonna update the price.
On the record?
2222 record.
Right. So I'm going to update the price on the 222 record, which is this one. And what's it going to be updated to?
$29.90.
Oh, right. I got 57.6.
Yeah, I don't know.
So. The price is
57.6. I did that manually.
57.6, that's what you got.
Mm.
So this is going to update to 57.6, right? Is that what other people got?
When I did it manually, I did it that way. When I did it on the computer, I got I was a copy.
What did you guys get?
Or something.
Yeah.
I got a mess. Well, what's your price for 2
Amanda, Charlotte, what did you get?
57.6.
Okay.
59. Is that what she had originally?
51.99.
I had 51.99 originally, and it's 57.60 this time.
I ran the script.
Okay, and then the next one that I'm updating is the 3333. And what is that one going to be?
$17.99? I don't think it met either condition.
Yeah, I said it would stay the same.
Yeah.
If it doesn't meet either.
That's my memory.
Yeah.
If it's greater than cost times 1.2, but it's less than cost times 1.3.
Right.
And what I've got here is I don't have any if-else statements on the second one. So I'm asking, is B price less than B cost times 1.2 is my sort of asking thing. And if it is, I do a calculation to get a new price. Else, I'm asking, is B price greater than B cost times 1.3. And those should have been B's. I don't know why I wrote them on the side, but anyway. And otherwise, I do a calculation, but if it's a no, I'm doing nothing. So I'm just ending the if and ending the if. So I am doing nothing. So if it doesn't meet either of those criteria, it doesn't get changed. Okay, so this one stays the same. So it had to have met one of those two criteria to get changed. And if it doesn't, did everybody agree on the it didn't get changed? Okay. I call this a loop table because apparently I created it with a loop, but We're about out of time. I'm going to show you the... I want you to do 5 and 6 and write them up. But I just did it. Here was the original loop table. And I think I managed to get all the numbers in right. Yeah, it looks like I did. After I ran this, this was the loop table. So you can see that changes took place. Okay. Now what this did is every time I looped through, what happened?
It added a
record. No.
Mm-hmm. It updated a record.
It updated a record, but first it selected a record. So the select was for an individual record every time, and again, if you want to select multiple records at the same time, you have to have a cursor. But if you want to do an individual select, and that's what I was doing here, was I had an individual select. And how did it control? It controlled where ID number equals what?
V to get.
Yeah.
And what did V to get start out with?
1.
And what happens to V to get?
Gets incremented by 1 each time.
Right. And the exit on the loop says get out when?
Greater than 7.
When it's greater than 7. So at this point, I knew there were 7 records. There's a lot of I know what's going on and therefore I'm controlling it going on here. Because I have exit when it's greater than 7. I increment it every time. When I go back, I simply select a single record. And again, I need a cursor if I'm going to select multiple records. But I'm selecting a single record, okay? And so therefore, I'm controlling it with V to get, which starts out at 1, so I get the first record. I do whatever I do in the if statement, and then I update it, and then I add one to the V to get, and as long as I haven't passed 7, it loops back, because I said exit when it passes 7. So as long as it doesn't pass 7, I loop back. Yes, no, maybe? Okay, I want you to still go through that one and kind of write it up yourself. And then look at the next two as well. Because we have run out of time. But while you were working on it, I created the table and then I could run it. Okay. And the bottom one, it's got the same basic kind of thing,
but what's happening here? I have a different kind of loop, okay? So the main thing I'm looking for there is an understanding of how those two kinds of loops work.
All righty. Questions? I want